Rap Sucks Radio. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man. That's going to be an interesting. That's a funny. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That's ridiculous, actually. Oh, man. Let's do this real quick. What up, y'all? You are live on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Track Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for listening. This is, of course, the In Here Tripping Edition, where we drop a new episode daily as opposed to our usual weekly. While y'all locked in, we locked in, right? That's how it worked. So
that's right. Just Rap Sucks Radio is like a work of God, and every day there will be multiplications.
You at it early right now. You at it real early. How was your day, man, before we get started?
It was great. It came to an apex right around the noontime hour.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for listening, Kev.
Absolutely, man. I listened to way more than I thought I was going to.
Well, that's a very...
Wifey was even in there turning it up a little bit. I was like, I don't know if you want to turn it all the way up, but you turn it up a little bit.
I tried to keep it as clean as possible, but it turned out a little better than I expected. I was incredibly nervous. Incredibly.
That's so true. Is it because it was on camera and you didn't have, like, would you be less nervous if it was the same four people watching you live?
Yeah, the same four people. Thank you very much. No, I think that is the one thing that I am nervous about doing is DJing. That it is the... most nervous about, but... Like you said yesterday, it's only like the whole world's not watching. I think it was 230 or 220 viewers or somewhere around there, which was dope, right? But
I know
the ability for the rest of the world to watch. Why is that?
That's the thing, is that I would be nervous because I know that no matter how many people, there's still the same five idiots, of which I am one, who's going to tune in and try and catch you. Just out of the corner of your eye, just throw something out there.
See, I didn't have the phone, the front screen facing me. So Sarai was doing like the sound and video management.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So I just had it set up to where the camera was on me. I couldn't see any comments or requests or y'all being clowns.
Right.
I couldn't see that. I did watch it after, so I saw you with Traumatics. Traumatics was at the end.
I think,
but a couple people kept requesting
I was pretty
Lucchini.
I was pretty light. I was pretty light on it.
Yeah,
he was chill. That's what I was wondering. Did you play it?
No way. No. Cannot stand that song. There was a request for Lucchini and Shook Ones, and I was like, I'm not having it. But my day, man, has been pretty eventful, dude. We had the dryer went out, so we had the dryer repairman come out, who came out about the same time I was DJing. Plus, I had a team meeting this morning for my job. And then after all of that, after work, DJing, paying more money than I prefer to pay. Well, it wasn't a lot of money, but it's still more money than I prefer to pay to fix anything around my house.
Yeah,
we're cooking dinner, and the garbage disposal floods. So then I had to take the piping of the garbage disposal off and clear the piping out and re-put it back together. And yeah, so about 30 minutes ago, I finally kind of settled down for my day.
You're a great man.
You know what, man? Thank you, because it was a lot. That was quite a bit today.
That does sound like quite a bit.
Not more than... our friend here, though, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Rodney Howard Brown.
That's right.
Of Florida-based Revival Ministries International. Okay.
Ah, yes.
Do we start
locally
from
locally known, internationally respected.
I don't know whether to start with the punchline or the... I mean, I guess to tell... Okay, so the initial thing about Howard Brown is he's a conservative evangelical pastor, and he has suggested to his followers that God will help multiply their toilet rolls amid the coronavirus pandemic.
And praise him.
Won't he will. Oh, man, the reverend told his congregation that this should be a time of supernatural sustenance, where what you have in your hand will multiply. And every day
yes,
there will be multiplications, he said, every day there will be multiplications. And for
that's
me,
right.
he's right. There was from multiplication from DJing until fixing a sink. So there's that, right? Garbage disposal. you look at your toilet paper. You look at your toilet paper. And you think, I'm going to run out of toilet paper. But you have another roll where that one was, and you don't know how that even took place.
You don't know it all.
You don't know it all. Howard Brown, Pastor Howard Brown added, amen, amen. Are the toilet paper rolls getting together and having families now? What is taking place? When you look again, there's still enough. You think you're going to run out, but when you look again, there's still enough. That's supernatural sustenance. We are not stopping.
Can I hear it from the congregation?
Anything. Can I hear it? Can I hear it for the toilet paper rolls, Pastor? Deacon Sharman. in response to him being, I believe this is in response to him being told to kind of shut down the congregating to have church online, do other things, right? We are not stopping right. anything, he said. I've got news for you. This church will never close. The only time the church will close is when the rapture is taking place.
Hmm.
This Bible school is open because we're raising up revivalists, not pansies.
Not pansies.
Not pansies.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a tiny pansy. Do pansies come in
pansies
different sizes?
With toilet paper.
Right. Multiplying toilet paper revivalist, not pansies. Kev.
He told the congregation, turn to the man next to you and shake his hand. He told them to shake each other's hand.
Oh, man, that's...
Give each other a hug.
You know what, man? Here's the thing. So I was trying to explain to a person who's an atheist, I said, because they get... This person was upset that people say, pray for, they're going to pray for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, before we get into the hypocrisy and the nonsense that this all is, I do have a thought on that, though. So, I told him that it's an actually extremely kind gesture for someone to tell you they're going to pray for you. Because they genuinely believe, right, that this higher power can and will help you. So it's not as though they're doing the easiest thing they could possibly do. They truly believe that this is a powerful thing, right? Now,
sure, sure.
Moving on to the next thing.
However,
toilet paper rolls being multiplied by a holy higher power. I don't know, man. I feel like God would just allow you to go buy your own toilet paper. You know what I'm saying?
I also feel like there's probably a lot of people in his congregation who took that their 13th jumbo pack of toilet paper out of the Costco, but it was the last one in the Costco that day, and looked at the next guy in line and said, well, I'm going to pray for you.
I'm going to pray for you. There it is. That's true.
I'm going to pray for you.
That was that the non-genuine pray for you. My pastor said this is going to multiply, so... So do you buy a pack of four toilet papers because you're aware, right, that the good Lord will multiply your toilet paper?
You know what? The funny thing is that I think right after I saw this today, and I think it might have been Mega, but because I'm saying Mega, it was probably Fizz, posted something which was totally positive. It was about how you can use your toilet paper rolls as the beginnings of a garden, because you put the dirt in the cardboard roll and then you start, it's like, yeah, there you go. That's what we need, right?
So, nice. Yeah.
You yes. know?
Yeah.
But I was thinking, are you trying to grow toilet? That was the first thing I was thinking, is he's trying to grow toilet paper. You better pray on, you better pray on that.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh, man.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I tell you, if I was going to pray for something like that, I would pray to not really need toilet paper to complete that entire task.
Well, I don't know, man. The bathroom is like my place of peace.
Oh, can you imagine how great it would be if we could figure out a way to keep it from having to use that toilet paper because it just didn't need it, and then get rid of the stink, and we could just spend all the time we needed in there?
I think I'm gonna pray for
without
it.
Any sort of potential negative consequence. Oh man!
Oh, man, it'd be amazing.
I'd have a 65-inch TV up in there.
Just run this by, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. He might know a way. He might
well,
know.
Well, not anymore.
Well, why
not
is that?
Not anymore because I believe the same Rodney Howard Brown has now been arrested. I don't laugh at people who get arrested, but
no, some of it is funny.
That is funny. He got arrested for he was evading public orders, stay at home orders.
Yes,
but that's what I don't understand. I thought the governor has not yet ordered people to stay at home. The governor in Florida.
You know what? I don't know. It's a federal order though, right? Or no,
man. You know what? Florida is a journey. Florida is a unique and wonderful individual universe. I don't even know what to say, man.
Well, I'm reading here. It just says
Florida. It took this. Florida was getting bored with itself, and then this came along, and Florida realized it had to step its game up. And boy, has it stepped its game up.
Well, it was losing attention to the virus, Florida was. So right. It was like, yo, we need to take advantage of this moment. I don't know.
Right, we can't have that.
He feels like it's been blown out of proportion, though. He said that they complied with six feet rules. You saw a picture of the people in church. It does not look like people are 6 feet apart.
Oh, man, it looked like he was opening up for Kanye. Get out of here.
Kanye seems like a person that would tell you that your toilet paper will multiply in the middle of his concert. That is definitely something I can hear Kanye say.
Kanye's toilet paper does multiply.
Kanye's.
I have it on good authority.
Kanye is a mess.
It's not technically his, but in that house, it does multiply.
I'd imagine so. It's probably made of gold in that house. Gold-plated toilet paper. Hey, can I throw something out there real quick? Shout out to Pastor Rodney Howard Brown. I don't know, man. All right, I guess.
Hold your head.
Hold your head, son. Like, you'll be all right. You'll make it out. But face will be full of those tattooed tears, I guess. But,
play Luchini.
Right? What is up with that? Regarding the 6 feet rule, right?
Right.
So, Emma Park this weekend, there's these four dudes. They mad cool dudes, man. They play like it's almost like a frisbee golf. Is there a term? Is there a name for that type of game? Where there's like pars and
college.
Okay, there's that. So they play that, right? And they chilling. Mm-hmm. They playing like, dude. And they big chilling yesterday. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, they were out. Just I guess none of them knew they had it. And they were around each other. They certainly were clowning, high fiving, or whatever. I didn't see anything wrong with it at all, right? And they're bumping basically Bay Area hip hop. Old school hip hop, you know what I'm saying? So you know, I'm listening. I'm like, wow, Blackalicious. Nice. Good job, guys.
Okay.
Dell and all of that. So they, wow, cool. My neighbor was livid at them, yo. And I was like, yo, why are you mad at them? They didn't walk up to you. They not really tripping out. I kind of like, I'm not sure. Like the surfer that got, or not arrested, I'm sorry. They talking about they were fining surfers. I'm like, I don't understand. I guess I didn't read the fining surfer article. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really sure what some of the issue is with some of these reactions. Like trails are being closed, but a friend of mine said people are hiking in groups. So that's why they closed the trail. Because it's, you know. But I believe the rule is 10 or more,
I think it's
right?
Been like a little
I'm trying to figure it out.
Well, it's like you sent people away from work. You told them, you know. I don't know. I understand that the best thing you can do is stay at home. Like, obviously, your family was like, you know, it's clear among my family that if one of us gets it, we're all, you know, it's unfortunately, like, I don't know what else we're going to try to deal with it intelligently, but I think it's more people get mad when they see folks who it's like, you don't live with each other. Why are you hanging out with each other right now at this moment, you know? And also, if you're throwing a Frisbee around, I don't know if that's the game they were playing, but I mean, that's, you know, it's like throwing a piece of doo-doo at each other or something.
I mean, it just is whatever. Like, I don't know. They all have their own Frisbees.
Which that was actually the moment where I had to turn away from your live broadcast this afternoon when you touched your face and I was like, oh, come on, man.
Oh, come on.
You better than that.
Yeah, I saw your little comment on there. Yeah, all right. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm just here to help.
It was so
I like
that set was great.
360's comment was what did he say? He says, as long as you keep your blend smooth, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the thing that
I was like 60 is like the pitching coach who tells just go out there and throw strikes.
I'm saying it's one thing
Thank
to make
you.
A mistake.
Thanks, coach.
So, yo, this is the thing. So, all these, and that's the other thing. We definitely need to get into this tomorrow. The fact that IG Live is facing a little heat from record labels, and it's possible that some of this stuff will get shut down. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
I don't have a lot of clarity into it, so I kind of want to look it up, but. Speaking specifically to DJing today and the feeling you get while DJing, whatever, it's not so much one mistake or even two mistakes. You know what I'm saying? It's a string of mistakes. Like, you know, in an hour, you're gonna make a mistake here, there. Like a mix is gonna kind of go, that wasn't super fresh. It was just all right or whatever. You know, like I mean, of course, most DJs, most, you know, like the Remarks of the world, Icy Ice's B Junkie crew. Most of the Snapback crew be staying in them. They're really clean all the way through.
Right.
But, you know, but even then, occasionally I'll hear a mix with blend with one of them and be like, whoa, hey, there you go. It happens to everybody, right? It's just
right.
When it completely goes off the rails and you like are train wrecking for three or four songs in a row because you kind of lost your... I was like, please.
I missed that because when I saw you were pretty clean. I'm not going to lie. I was like, okay.
Oh yeah, that's.
I didn't hear any craziness.
Yeah, that's the other side
of the game for us is that we came up around all these DJs who made zero mistakes. It's like, really? Like you think about Melody?
Oh my god!
I'm like, yo, I told him. I literally just told him last year. I was like, yo, I've known you for what 25 years, and I've never heard your needle skip.
Yeah, not once.
That's who we grew up with. So you know, That's part of why you were nervous.
Oh yeah, because
because
really the biggest
because you knew you wanted to play Nelly.
I really wanted to play Nelly so bad, so I could take the record and throw it across the room like deliberately. Plus, I was like, man, if Mark Love tunes into this, you know, Mark Love like the heck, old boy. My phone would have gone. I had to put my phone on airplane mode because I just knew that there were enough clowns. There was just enough clowns. I have enough clown friends. So
I tell you what, when we. Maybe we will save the discussion for one of the other episodes about the larger landscape and stuff, but Mark Love has had the most even-keeled, reasonable comments on the entire phenomena that's, what, a week old of coronavirus IG Live.
Oh, he really DJing. Has. Yeah, he's been the perfect voice for it. He's with the perfect voice.
If you think you know to say something silly about anybody DJing on Instagram or Facebook, just go to Mark's timeline and get a little education.
Well, I mean, but look, let's take a few minutes, a few closing minutes of this to talk about DJing, you know, in general. Okay, so here's the thing. There are, and I guess I don't know. I can't speak for anywhere else in the world. I guess I could slightly speak for the Bay as well, but I can't speak for anywhere really outside of Los Angeles. Out here, we blend. We blend records. You don't slam a lot of records in. You kind of got to know how to mix. You know what I'm saying? At the bass level, you got to know how to mix. Now, a DJ's ear is a DJ's ear. Like, I know, you know, you hear some DJs that are masterful battle DJs but can't rock a party. You hear some DJs that can rock a party but can hardly scratch or can, you know, bass level scratch at best or whatever. Then you hear some DJs that have a dope ear and some that, all right, you know, they kind of go with the flow. But out here, when you think of, like, Icy Ice and Julio G, you know what I'm saying? You think of you know, the mix masters on KDAY. You think of Melody on the ones on 92.3. You think of DJ Dents. I could just, the list of names could go on and on and on and on and on. Redmatic. The Baker Boys was fresh. E-Man, like, I. Chalk on the radio, it just never stops. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You're realizing that if you stop talking, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to leave somebody out.
You just don't want to leave. Exactly. You don't want to leave anybody out because there's so many DJs that just murdered it, bodied it on the radio out here. And that's sort of the... I feel like a whack, the word whack being the worst amongst... Right, using the word whack as the lowest level of quality, not necessarily bad, just lowest level of quality. The whack DJ in LA still knows how to blend. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to in order to even get near the tables. You know what I mean? So I find a lot of DJs out here to be pretty clean, to be like actually really clean. You know what I'm saying? Now the song selection we might have some discussion, or maybe the skill level after that there might be some discussion, but I really do find a lot of LA DJs, LA and surrounding area DJs, to be real clean.
You know what I'm saying? I agree.
I thought you'd have more to say about that.
No, not at all. Not at all. I haven't gone out a lot since I've been back, but yeah, that's always been the case. I mean, but then before I moved, I really didn't have a frame of reference. But yeah, there was a lot of dope DJs in New York, but when you would go to the big shows, because I think that's one of the points that Mark made. It's like very few DJs, you know, there's a lot of DJs who play, you know, regularly, who you love. But there aren't a lot of DJs who you go out and you spend money to see.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You might spend a cover charge to go to a spot, and part of it might be because, you know, somebody's DJing who you enjoy. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, you know, like going to see some big DJ, you know, whether it be some whack EDM DJ or dope hip-hop DJ or whatever. But that community is very small, and I feel like in New York, those big hip-hop DJs... a lot of times we'd be slamming records.
A lot.
But I think that was also, it's also like sort of a comment on the music that they were playing, because they were playing to like a current Hot 97 crowd.
Right.
You know, where they were playing 10 seconds of each record. And it's like, all right, I get it. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know any of these songs. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think Mark Love, shout out to Mark Love, man. I know he probably doesn't listen to the show, but big shout out to him. He actually taught me quite a bit about DJing when we were doing Bridges together. You know, don't be afraid to plan your set. Like, plan your set. Know what you're going to play. You know what I'm saying? He felt like the way to make the most mistakes is to just be throwing records on. If you plan your set, it's less stressful. You know, just rotations, like backwards rotations, counting your backwards rotations, like where to mark your records. He taught me all that. Remark taught me the rest of that. But yeah, I mean, But these are things that are just shared for the sake of being shared. I was would say I'm a part-time DJ at best. And even I know these things. I've traveled a lot of places, put it that way, and met a lot of DJs, and not a lot of DJs know the basics. So you get a little nervous because the ones that do, man, the ones out there that do, because it's some name, like you said, it's a lot of dope DJs that you wouldn't, or like, you know, like you were repeating to Mark said, it's a lot of dope DJs that you don't pay to see, but these dudes are phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? They're, it's some bedroom DJs that'll murk a lot of people. So yeah, man, all that being said, that's why it's a real nerve-wracking thing to touch the ones out here, because you know,
and for all the
people watching, you know.
Yeah, and that's the community of DJs where you could be playing for, like, that's the thing that tripped me out in New York, is that you'd be playing for 6 hours, right? You'd be playing from 10 to 4.
Yeah.
Which is a marathon when you, the first time you do it, the first five or six times you do it, you are exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I've ever run a marathon or come close, but you're exhausted because it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't even do this at my house.
Yep.
You know, yep. And in LA, we close it too. So it's like, at the most, you're doing maybe 3 hours.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
If you're lucky, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But in New York, you're doing 6 hours, and it's like, you start to develop this relationship where it's like, you know, one, yes, you have to plan out your set, or else you're going to run out of joints.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you start guessing, and it's like, you're going to play two or three joints that nobody knows in a row, and then you're done. That's it.
You're done.
You know, so you start to develop that backbone of the set, and then in the process of doing that and developing that, if you're lucky, again, you have to be lucky to be able to do this one night a week, two nights a week, but on a regular basis, and be able to build and develop that conversation with the crowd. But you know at what point, you know, it's like running game. You know at which point you have to, it's not working.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And you're able to switch it up, and then you start to hone in on those four song combinations that are like, okay, I got you at song one. So I know who you are. And by song four, not only are you sweating, but you're on the table, or you're on the back of the booth or whatever, you know? And that's super fun. Cause the thing that, like, if you are not a DJ who plays for 30,000 people, you're really only, I mean, not you're really only, you want the whole crowd to have fun, but the most sort of, the thing that you appreciate the most is when that one person comes up, man or woman, doesn't matter, DJ, not a DJ, who comes up and said, yo, when you did this and this, I saw what you were doing. I get
it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That, you know. And then when they drop $100 on the table, that's always the best.
As an MC, it's actually better when it's actually, I'm going to tell you, having it happen in both situations, it's better when a person gives you $100 to MC. it feels so much different, yo. It feels so much different. And if you're a nice person, you share that with the DJ because you know that you wouldn't exist in that environment without them. But, you know, some dudes are jerks. So sometimes I would keep the 100. Anyway.
No, man, you got to have any DJ, by the way, who is not breaking off the security guards.
Oh, yeah.
For taking, you know, for filtering the requests at your spot. I don't know if that happens out here, but definitely in New York, you are a jerk.
The MC filters the request out here, at least yeah, in Snapback. So, yeah. Anyway, y'all, thank y'all for rocking with us, man. If you got a chance to catch the set today, well, thank y'all. If not, please tune in to snapback_live every day at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, so 3 p.m. East Coast Time. It's called Lunch Tables, Snapback Lunch Tables. And, it's live, man. It's dope. Paris Paul is on today when you're hearing this podcast. So yeah, check it out, man. It's fun to listen to.
Are you required to have a nice flower arrangement behind you
when you do that? Listen, that my turntable set is in my living room, and my wife decorated most of the house. So
it's gorgeous, immaculate.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
I'm not throwing shots.
It's wild fake, but it's there though.
ice was.
Yeah, I saw the flower power comment. All right. right, man. Let's get on out of here. Thank y'all for rocking on Rap Sucks Radio, okay. Man. Catch us on rapsucksradio.com or any podcasting platform that you prefer to use. Please like, comment, discuss, get down with us. Tell a friend to tell another friend. We appreciate y'all listening. We will catch y'all tomorrow on the In Here Tripping edition of Rap Sucks Radio, where we drop a new episode daily as opposed to our normal schedule weekly. Y'all ready? On the count of three, we say peace. 1, 2, 3. Peace.
Peace.
I did blend better than that piece. You're right.